Jumping back into Luke's Gospel, the We Follow series, and as we do so, we come to a great and well-known passage, the lost sheep and the lost coins. Really well-known passage there, and as we come to look at it, I wonder about that theme of being lost. What memories jump into your mind? We all have memories of being lost or losing something, or a friend or a family member being lost and having to find them. Recently, I lost my sunglasses, which was really frustrating because this has been the hottest week of the year and I couldn't find them, and the bright light of the day was beginning to give me headaches, but I coped. I didn't get the white line there from sunburn except for the bridge of the nose, so that was a benefit. But either way, in the end, I randomly found it and it was great. But my sunglasses aren't particularly valuable. They're kind of £20 from a regular shop, so it wasn't a big deal. Have you ever lost something that is valuable? The second week of year 7 for my son Ethan, thinking that he'd started really well, we get a stressful phone call after school. I'm in town, I can't find my bag, I don't know where it's gone, someone must have stolen it. I've lost my bag. And don't forget, in the school bag are not just the books, the calculator, his phone, or not his phone because he's calling me, all sorts of things that are valuable that have set him up for the start of school. So he's panicking and I calm down. Right, where did you last see it? Just look around you, go back to where you've been in town. And he's searching, he's looking, he's trying to find it. And thankfully we have another phone call just 2 minutes later saying, yeah, it was at Cafe Nero, by a chair outside, it had been left, no one took it. He didn't have to chase after a bunch of year nines who had stolen it and ran off, which was the image in my head, and risk his life to save his bag. It was found. It was lost and valuable, but it was found, and there was joy, there was delight. I'm sure you've got an experience, maybe not of a school bag, maybe of something far more valuable, something that you've lost, were worried about, searched for and found and rejoiced in finding. And maybe a person that has lost, a family member, or that experience yourself of when you were lost on a walk or in town or somewhere and as a young child, and then you were reunited with your parents, your family. We've got those experiences, and this powerful set of parables that Jesus now explains or uses to make a point are all about something that was lost being found and rejoicing. It is very obvious. And the context of this passage here is to understand that in the verse before, chapter 14, verse 35, Jesus says, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Jesus is saying, listen up. Have I got your attention? Because you need to focus. This parable is going to be important for you. Listen up. And the very next verse, chapter 15, verse 1, we read, "Now tax collectors and sinners gathered around to hear Jesus." Not the Pharisees, the tax collectors and sinners came to hear Jesus. They were the ones in society that were pushed to the side, that were outcasts, that were neglected, that were overlooked often because of the lives that they lived, the wrong that they committed. They weren't faithful Jews. They were instead people that had abused God's law and done things publicly that were known to be wrong. Or tax collectors asking for money, in a sense betraying the Jewish people to earn a living from the Romans, a job that needed to be done, but nobody wanted to do it except for those few who didn't mind having lost their reputation within their culture and setting. So here we are, we have the people that are listening are the tax collectors and the sinners, and yet Jesus is speaking really to the Pharisees, the crowds, the teachers of the law, and saying, listen up, listen to what I say. Have you got ears to hear? Make sure you hear this. And then he opens up into this parable, and we're going to think about those words. So lost, what it means to be and feel out of place. Have you got an experience like that? Found, being put back where you belong. And also joyful, joining a great celebration. So lost, being and feeling out of place. We understand this parable, don't we? That there's a flock of 100 sheep, everything's fine, But then the shepherd discovers that one of the flock is lost, is missing. It's not there at the end of the day when there's the count before putting his feet up and relaxing. It's gone astray. It's moved into an area of danger. It's not in the safety of the fold. It's away. And the shepherd has a love for his sheep, a care for his sheep. His job and responsibility is to care for all. And if one is missing, there's a carelessness that goes with that. That reputation would be at stake. Oh, you're the shepherd that loses sheep. You're the shepherd that can't be trusted. You're not going to keep my business. And so we have the safety of the flock and the danger of being away from the flock, of being unsafe and lost. The 99 were safe. They were valued and important. But so was the one. Because the one is then sought after, and we'll come to that in a moment. But there is value in the sheep, that is the livelihood of the shepherd. Let's look at the next parable, the woman. What is lost there? We have a woman that has 10 silver coins. They're valuable, they're precious, they would have been at least a day's wages each. So not something to be forgotten about if you drop it down the back of the sofa. Valuable, worth finding. You don't just ignore several hundred pounds. You make sure you find it if you lose it. But even more than that, it could well be that these 10 silver coins were prepared to be on a necklace, hanging off a necklace, a chain, and would be used and worn by a bride in that culture as a sign of marriage. So a single woman or a woman due to be married, a betrothed, engaged lady, would have had these coins, these silver coins, ready for the big day. Now imagine losing one of those coins and the impact that has on the wedding day. It's like losing your ring before the wedding day. Pretty shocking, worrying, anxious. So what do you do? What does she do? Does she searches. She lights the lamp because the windows in that culture would have been small. It may well have been a dark day, even if it wasn't a dark evening time of the day. You would have needed extra light to look into the corners and under surfaces. And so we have a searching that happens. Like the seeking of the lost sheep, we have a searching of the lost coin. A lamp is lit, a broom is collected, and the search begins because it is valuable. But what are the sheep and the coin meant to represent? Well, we know, don't they? They represent people, the tax collectors and the sinners, the people that have gone away from the right way, being in and a part of God's community, that are away from that and are lost. And actually, there's a sense that we all experience that. We all experience that feeling of being out of place and lost when we do things wrong, when we let others down, when we turn our back on God and live our way, not his way. And actually, as we read the whole Bible, we realise it's not just the tax collectors and the sinners that are wayward and lost, but it's the Pharisees and the religious leaders. In fact, it's all of Israel. It's all of the Jews and the Gentiles. It's humanity that is lost, like the silver coin, like the lost sheep, gone away and searching for happiness in the wrong places. Not in the safety of the flock and the love of the good shepherd, not on that necklace and being prepared for that wedding day by that woman, but instead seeking things that don't bring satisfaction that we hope will. What is it that you are seeking after? How are you wayward and lost at the moment? Maybe you feel like that because of a decision you've made, because of a circumstance that's come upon you. And actually, when you're lost, what do you realise? You realise, at a certain point at least, maybe not immediately, but you realise you need rescue. That you miss the safety of the flock. You feel like you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. How do you come out of that place? Well, this is how the rest of the parable goes. Before we get to being found, something needs to happen. Does the sheep figure the way back to the flock? Does the coin kind of roll along the carpet and jump up onto the dressing table again? No, obviously not. The coin requires a searching woman, and the lost sheep that is wayward, that's what happens to sheep. They need to be in a flock, in a pen, in a care of a shepherd. If they go out of that care, they need rescue. and they can't save themselves out of the thicket from the predators, from the risks and dangers of the hillside. What's needed is a seeking shepherd. What's needed is a searching woman. And that's exactly what we find. We find that as the shepherd searches for the sheep to leave the 99, on one level they are safe, but another level they are then less safe because the shepherd has gone and set all his energy into finding the one that was lost. This is an example of extravagant love. Not of recklessness, but of extravagant love and of desire to save even the one. The one matters so much, and the coin matters so much. So the emphasis here is on the shepherd, on the woman, searching, seeking. The woman, you might notice, lights a lamp. And so in this first parable of the sheep, we have a seeking shepherd. And we know, don't we, when we think about the shepherd imagery through the Bible, that so many people were shepherds in the Bible that were significant. Moses and David and Jesus. Jesus talked about to be the good shepherd in John's gospel, the fulfiller of Ezekiel 34, where we come across lots of words all about the shepherd one day seeking the sheep. Listen to these verses in verse 11 to 12 of Ezekiel. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. And then verse 16, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. And then we come to Luke 19:10 and that familiar verse that we know, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You see, the lost are found. They're found by the shepherd that seeks them out, that risks lots, that in fact risks so much that the person of Jesus, the Son of Man, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. Not just metaphorically, but we know that he surrenders his life and dies on a cross so that the lost sheep of Israel and the Gentiles can be saved by repenting faith in that shepherd. Wow, what a shepherd we have. But as we see, the son is a seeking son, that God takes the initiative through seeking out those that fall astray, that sin, that mess up. We also find that the woman turns on a light and picks up a broom and does all she can to find the lost coin. And it's thought that that lighting of the lamp is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's role in salvation, in lighting up the truth that we are lost and needing saving. That in the dark corners of society, a light shines, which is the Holy Spirit illuminating the church, illuminating the truth, illuminating the Saviour Jesus. And then the coin is found. Again, we have the initiation, the initiative of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus, in finding that which was lost. I find that so powerful. You see, you can't save yourself, and that's often what's presented in films we see. Think of that classic children's film, Finding Nemo. Nemo is a fish, a clownfish that gets lost in the ocean, gets caught in a net and taken away, ends up in a dentist's room in a fish tank. You know, you go to the dentist and there's usually a fish tank there, you know, you spot the link. Stuck. And Nemo does all he can to save himself. And in the end, he comes out of the fish tank in a big kerfuffle, ends up going down the toilet, flushed away back into the sea. But there's an element where he is saving himself by trying to escape. And there's various things along the way, along the journey, that enable his rescue, his being reunited with his father. But the gospel is very clear. There's an element where we need to respond to Jesus, but that is only possible because God initiates our salvation. He comes in his Son Jesus Christ to seek and to save us. He comes by his Holy Spirit to illuminate the truth and compel us to repent and believe. And so we have the sheep reunited with the shepherd. And what is the response? Is it a stern rebuke? Is it a telling off? Is it I can't believe you ran away and were so stupid to do that? No. He puts the sheep on his shoulders. and there's an attitude of joy and celebration. And so we have a lost sheep, a found sheep, a lost coin, a found coin, and we have joy, the joy of being found. Joyful celebrations, and at first that's the shepherd, that's the woman, they're rejoicing, they're thankful. The sheep goes on the shoulders, and what happens next? Many in the community are invited to the party that follows. And Jesus says there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous ones. There'll be joy in heaven. The angels will rejoice. The heavenly hosts will celebrate. And therefore, people are invited to this celebration of the lost being found and not told off, but loved and welcomed. And maybe whenever you've found something that you lost, or found a person you've lost, I don't know, like me, you've maybe been tempted to go, oh, what were you doing? But actually so much of our reaction often is, ah, oh, you've been found. I'm just gonna focus on the joy of this moment, on the celebration. And God the Father celebrates when every person comes to him in repentance and faith. That's the story of this parable. That's what we see. And so, unlike what the Pharisees and the religious leaders thought, that the sinners and the wayward should come back themselves to Jesus. They should humble in repentance before him. They should come from the corners of society to God, to the temple, to keep the law. And unless they did that, they were outcasts. They were accused as being sinners and tax collectors, and therefore they shouldn't be talked to, they shouldn't be having a seat at the table. Well, Jesus models the opposite. He says, no, I go to the corners of society, I take the initiative, and I seek out the lost, the wayward, the sinners. And he says, I seek out you. Whatever you've done, whatever you're doing, I seek you out. He's not waiting for you to get your life sorted and come back to him. He seeks you out in his love, in his extravagant love. And he did so much to show that. He died on a cross so that you could have a relationship with him. That's my story of being rescued, realizing my sin and turning to Jesus, my Savior, who has come to me and made a way possible for me to be reunited with the Father. And so as we conclude, there's a great celebration in heaven for those that are found, those that come in repentant faith to Jesus and join the celebration. And so what does this mean? Well, if you're lost, yes, may the Holy Spirit make you aware of your need to be found, of your sin that needs to be forgiven by God and has been made possible for that by his son dying for you. But you can be a part of the rescue mission. You can join Jesus, the seeking Saviour, and help others hear this good news by sharing your story, by inviting people to church, by encouraging people to watch online, by talking about it in the workplace. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And this is what Rose Dowsett, a global mission thinker and writer and author, said. We seek and find because God first sought and found. We seek and find because God first sought and found. That's why we do it, because we've been found. And we model the God and our Saviour by wanting to do that for others too. So how are we saved? Well, we're saved by drawing near to God in faith, in repentance, knowing that he is drawn near to us by seeking us out. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, Jew and Gentile, sheep and coin. The Son is at work, the Spirit is at work. And next week in our sermon, we're going to hear about the prodigal son and the way the Father has a role in this too. But as we think about this, I encourage you to take a next step. If you're lost and feeling out of place, Jesus is looking for you. Welcome him into your heart. If you've been found recently, rejoice and share that joy with others, and know that God in heaven, with all the heavenly hosts, are celebrating that you have been found. Come to Jesus, find acceptance and belonging with him, and see how he transforms your life and the lives of those around you.